Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, can't believe it's already Thursday this week. I don't know about you guys. This seems like this week has just been flying by. But then again, I've been even extra busier than normal with this statewide tour that I've been doing here. Gotta love a Thursday. That's when we have our great friend David Noble in the house with us here on the show. And, you know, and we really appreciate his time joining us because, you know, he's got a busy day job. He's a lawyer here in Montana. Grew up in Manhattan, Montana, and so we always appreciate whenever he's in studio with us, but he's doing some extra bit of running around this morning, so he's joining us on the phone lines right now, and that's great because we get so many of our great guests on the phone lines. David, thanks for freeing up some time for us this morning.
Hey, thanks so much. That Stephen Miller content is fantastic. In fact, it reminded me of exactly what I was hoping to accomplish back when I started talking about, hey, we got to start exposing who John Tester really is. And it's so good to see you, see people like Stephen Miller, finally pointing out John Tester's actual votes. And I think that's just critically important because his actual votes are just so different than who he pretends to be.
Well, and the other thing that I think is important that Stephen Miller is doing, you know, there's a lot of us, we want to be nice, we want to be Norwegian nice, and so we virtue signal, don't we? We are guilty of virtue signaling at times. Oh, well, I'm sure so-and-so is a nice person, we just disagree with them. Look, that is a lie. John Tester is not a nice guy. He is not a nice guy. And his votes are horrendous, but he is not a nice guy, and he needs to be called out for it. And so I'm glad that Stephen Miller is speaking truth on that front as well.
It's the same thing about Joe Biden, and everybody's like, oh, it's just Uncle Joe. He's kind of a nice guy. It's like, no, he's not a nice guy. He's corrupt. He's committed bribery. He sold his public office. He's not some nice guy. And it's the same with John Tester. You know, it's ridiculous. It's a whole nice guy image.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. If he was such a nice guy, then why isn't he going to the funeral service for this New York police officer who was killed? If he's such a nice guy, why didn't he meet with the Gold Star family member that was at the State of the Union address, a couple weeks ago? If he's such a nice guy, then why does he call a young lady that just asks him a question or disagrees with him a dog-faced pony soldier, right?
Right. And then he called that one guy fat. Just
that he
disagreed with him politically.
That's right. And then he's had all sorts of other, let's just say, racially insensitive remarks that he's made over the years. But because he's this feeble old man now, oh, he's just a nice old guy. BS.
Yeah,
give me a break.
No, actually, so one of the Democrat streamers on Twitch had put up notification things that were basically like Republicans but saying gaffes and stuff. So I changed my notifications on my stream to be little clips of Joe Biden making comments like, poor kids are just as bright and just as smart as white kids.
Oh, yeah.
Wealthy kids, black kids. And he tries to save it, and it's just like, and it's like, okay, you want to start playing gaffes of politicians? Like, we can do that all day long.
We've got more clips than you do. That's right. David Noble, hold that thought. I want to get your take on this Montana Supreme Court ruling right after this.
Military matters.
For the second time this month, Chinese warships encircled a Philippine supply boat in the South China Sea. The outgoing head of the U.S. military in the Pacific, Admiral John Aquilino, warned Congress China's military is getting more aggressive.
They are continuing to develop their military machine. Their actions are becoming much more belligerent.
Now the Navy's top leaders have presented Congress with a $2.2 billion wish list, 13 items they say are needed due to Congress's repeated delays, continuing resolutions to defense funding bills since October, and to the House Republicans blocking the supplemental bill to fund Ukraine, Taiwan, and Israel's defense needs. The wish list includes $92.9 million to buy more missiles for the Navy's depleted Fifth Fleet and $403 million for the U.S. submarine industrial base, something Republican lawmakers put into the stalled Ukraine funding bill. For Military Matters at the Pentagon, Jennifer Griffin, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. The sky stays cloudy today. We'll see some developing rain shower activity, especially this afternoon. High temperature readings stay from around 48 in Bozeman to 61 in the Billings area. For tonight, shower activity early may turn to snow showers before ending, especially in the Bozeman area, with low temperatures in the mid-20s in Bozeman, 32 in Billings. Then on Friday, high staying in the mid-40s to around 50 degrees. This is Weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping right back into it here with David Noble. We'll want to cover a woke update of the week, of course, here at some point this hour of the show. But, David, I wanted to get to this topic in the 6 o'clock hour of the show because it is a very big news story. But, frankly, I'm glad we saved it here for the 7 o'clock hour to get kind of your legal insight on this as well. Here we go again. When I saw this headline, Montana Supreme Court blocks four voting-related laws from the 2021 legislature. It's like, wow, dude, what about us? Yeah, you're only about 3 years late here. But, you know, here we have, these are very simple rules for our elections, common sense stuff, you know about IDs to vote. Deals with same day registration, and yet here you go, the liberal mob on the Montana Supreme Court basically blocked all four of these bills.
Yeah, it's really disappointing, and as a lawyer and a true believer in the constitutional government and system we have, it's just so disappointing to see a decision like this out of the Supreme Court that I think is going to do really, really big harm to the public respect for the judiciary, to the extent of any of it even exists. It's going to generate a massive, massive blowback from the legislature and the governor. It's really disappointing, and I actually had the opportunity to work on this case. I've actually taken depositions in that case. I cross-examined the PhD witnesses at trial. I've actually researched the law on these issues, and let me just give one example for an example of how preposterous this decision is. Okay, so in 1972, Montana adopted its new constitution. At the 1972 Constitutional Convention, the constitutional delegates specifically debated whether or not to put same-day voter registration into the constitution, and they specifically decided not to. They said, no, that's up to the legislature. We don't want to make same-day voter registration a constitutional requirement. In fact, in 1972, you had to be registered to vote 30 days before the election. Okay, that never changed until I think it was 2005. We put in same-day voter registration. That caused all kinds of problems, all sorts of different issues. And so the legislature decided to move that back just one day, just to the day before. And so now the Montana Supreme Court has said the Montana Constitution, which actually specifically says that the legislature may provide for same-day voter registration, but doesn't have to. And in 1972, the delegates specifically decided not to make that a constitutional provision. Now the Montana Supreme Court said, hey, in 2024, this sort of amorphous right to vote means that that we have to have same-day voter registration, even though the people of Montana, even though the legislature, even though the governor wanted to move it to the day before for a host of different reasons. It really is outlandish, and it's really going to do a whole lot of damage to the integrity of our system here in Montana. I think it's going to generate a bunch of blowback.
Yeah, well, and I hope it does, frankly, because I think Montanans need to understand how important these two Montana Supreme Court races are this year, and the importance of, you know, voting for Judge Dan Wilson and voting for Corey Swanson to be Chief Justice, because we just need to restore fairness and decency to the Montana Supreme Court. And in my opinion, the whole premise of what the left is arguing here is they're saying, well, if the registration deadline is on a Monday instead of on a Tuesday, people aren't going to be able to vote. You're taking away their right to vote. And it's like, wait a minute. We have seen massive chaos on election day where people get stuck waiting in line for 4 hours just to try to vote because of this same-day registration nonsense and some of this other nonsense. And it's like, wait a minute. So if I – and these white liberals – Like, I see a quote here from one of the white liberals in this Montana Television Network story here. Let's see. Today's decision is a tremendous victory for democracy, Native voters, and young people across the state of Montana, said the Montana Democrat Party executive director, who's a white lady, talking about what's best for Native American voters. Okay, our Native American friends, you tell me, what's easier to do? Register by Monday by noon, or wait in line for 4 hours on Tuesday? What would you rather do? What you tell me, right? You know, this is the premise of these arguments from these white liberals is so absurd.
It truly is absurd, and you've got Rafe Graybill out there making the most absurd, just stupid statements that these are plainly unconstitutional laws when they're not. And you open up the PDF for the opinion; it's 125 pages long, and you're like, "I'm not reading this." And if the Supreme Court took 125 pages to justify this ruling, that might explain something. But the other absurd thing about this is like, you know, another piece of misinformation that Rafe Graybill put out there is that, you know, well, he represented teachers, and teachers work before school and they work after school, so they needed same-day voter registration. I'm like, Rafe, you can register to vote in Montana by filling out the form and mailing it in. It's not hard.
Yeah.
And then the other part of that ruling was saying that in Montana, the constitutional right to vote requires that we allow paid ballot harvester. And Aaron, in that case, there was testimony and evidence in that case that all of these leftist Democrat groups are paying people to go harvest ballots all on the reservations, all around Montana. And it's only I have never seen any Republican group or the Republican Party going out and paying people to go ballot harvest.
These are out-of-state dark money operatives that are basically benefiting from this, that are being, you know, that are emboldened by this and benefit of this. So basically, you had the liberal mob on the Montana Supreme Court give a handout to their buddies in the Montana Democrat Party and to these dark money left wing operatives coming in from out of state. David Noble, hold that thought. I've got reaction from the Montana Senate president as well right after this quick break, the Farm and Ranch Report, and more.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Physical cash is becoming less relevant as many Americans are going the digital route. But it's a good idea to have a reasonable amount of cash stashed at home in case of emergencies. Elliot Pepper, a financial planner and co-founder of Northbrook Financial, says that a small but reasonable amount of cash should be kept on hand at all times to provide protection in an extremely adverse scenario. You might think about having an amount enough to cover the absolute bare necessities for 2 months. Bare necessities include a minimum housing payment, food staples, batteries, water, gas, and basic living needs. The most recent survey from the Bureau of Labor Statistics reports that the average monthly cost for food and gas alone is slightly less than a grand. That could serve as a baseline for how much to keep in cash, which would also vary depending on the size of your household, cost of living for your area, and whether you want to include other expenses and cash savings. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordland.
With weather uncertain and cattle prices very good, it's not anticipated that ranchers will retain replacement heifers this year. DTN Livestock Analyst Shaylee Stewart.
I think for a lot of producers, it comes down to a cash flow decision. There is a lot of money that's left on the table when you're not selling females in this market. You know, the steers, they're selling through the auction ring and bringing historically high prices, but their sister mates, they're also bringing high prices. And so it's that balancing act of, I know these genetics, I want to keep them in my herd, I want to run with this genetic line and the integrity of it. But at the same time, it's really hard to forego potentially $2,000 for a heifer calf. That's extremely hard to do. I think it comes down to an individual and a per operation basis that has to look at cash flow, that has to look at their 5, 10, 15, 20 year plan and say, what is my goal? And a lot of producers have said, you know, with having to service debt and most producers having to service debt, they've let more females go than they'd ideally like, just simply because debt is a talking point.
And there's also another issue.
who's going to be buying these females? As the cow-calf producers become an aging populace, it's hard to find capital as a young producer that's readily accessible. And so, you know, when you're borrowing money and it's 8, 9, 10, maybe even 11%, that's tough to swallow.
With these factors, Stewart does not believe the cattle herd can be rebuilt as fast as it was in the years of 2014, 15, and 16. I'm Lee Nordblond.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, David Noble's got a run here at the 7:30 Fox News update, so we'll get to your phone calls after that, and then I've got more I can share with you as well, but he's got a couple things for us. One, he's got a woke update of the week, and then two, he got to attend the Muscle Shell County Lincoln Reagan dinner and got to hear every single one of the congressional candidates speak, the Republican candidates in that Eastern Congressional District. So, yeah, David, roll right into it here, the woke update, and then your thoughts on the congressional candidates.
So this woke update is a Washington Times story, actually from March 23rd, Saturday, March 23rd, so less than a week ago. But a budget includes millions to help teens take steps to swap gender, buried in the newly passed $1.2 trillion federal spending package, millions of dollars for woke causes, including groups that host drag shows and provide teens seeking to change their sex with gender-affirming hormones and underwear, $400,000 for Garden State Equality in New Jersey, which promotes free gender-affirming garments. Here was a new woke term. They include chest binders, which are used to flatten female chests, and also gaffs, which are designed to help minimize the appearance of a crotch bulge. So that's what's in the big $1.2 trillion budget we just passed, and I think it's important that I don't know if this made it into the final bill or not, just because the story's old. But you got hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars going to pay for gaffs and chest binders. That I think shows kind of the importance of making sure in this Eastern District we get a really, really solid conservative. I think I'd mentioned either on Twitter or maybe previous on the radio where. I had never actually met some of the nine candidates in the Eastern District. I think I knew most of them and met a lot of them, but not all of them. So I went to the Muscle Shell County Lincoln Reagan Day dinner, and that was the first time I got to hear all nine of them speak and kind of put forth their story and their issues. And I was impressed with all of them, and of course I voted for a lot of them. In fact, I volunteered on Denny Rebert's 2006 campaign when I was a college Republican at the University of Montana in Missoula. Growing up in Manhattan, being a Gallatin Valley kid and then going to school in Missoula, actually one of the first times I really remember being in Billings was on that 2006 campaign. I was over here in Billings volunteering with some other college Republicans putting up Danny Rebert signs. Obviously, I voted for Troy Downing in statewide races. I voted for Elsie Arnson. There's a bunch of other of these folks. But I got to say, after listening to all nine of them and really thinking about their background, their policy positions, the situation, the one that I'm impressed with right now is Senator Ken Bodnar. He's just got a really, really solid background. He's got a solid conservative voting record. He appears to be a true Montanan, just culturally, socially, everything else. Young guy. That's where I'm leaning right now. Of course, I haven't made a final decision or anything. But Senator Ken Bodnar was really impressive, as well as a lot of the others.
Yeah, you know, the thing about, in fact, we can tie that back into liberal Senator John Tester as well. You know, we were talking about how Stephen Miller hammered Tester yesterday. But, you know, State Senator Ken Bodnar, very impressive. I like Ken a lot. Young military veteran, combat veteran, his brother, Purple Heart veteran. He delivered on all the things John Tester virtue signals about. John Tester will pretend to want to crack down on China owning farmland. Bodnar and the Montana legislature and the governor got it done. That was his legislation, right? He's actually delivered in the state legislature on the things that John Tester just pretends to care about and talks about, but has never done a dang thing about.
Yeah, and did I hear it right that was Senator Bogner Alofsky's running mate when he ran for governor?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he was. Yeah, that's
so
right. He was the lieutenant governor candidate then. Yep.
Yeah, and so Alofsky had actually spoken at the Muscle Shoal County Lincoln Reagan Day dinner as well. And
oh, really?
He spent some time kind of talking about how important this Eastern race is and how it's got to really have a good, strong conservative in there. And, of course, I've always liked Alofsky's policy positions. And so kind of learning that, you know, Alofsky could have chosen anybody as a running mate. He chose Senator Bogner. I mean, I think that says quite a lot.
Yeah. So is Dr. Al backing Ken for the Eastern congressional seat? I mean, I know he's in the Flathead now, but.
I don't think he is, at least not explicitly or openly. It was more just stressing the importance of the election and making sure we get the right candidate. He didn't endorse anybody, if I recall.
Oh, interesting. Oh, yeah. Yeah, very interesting. All right. Well, David Noble, I know you got to run, but, man, we always appreciate your time, and thanks for freeing up some time for us here on this Thursday.
Thank you. We'll talk soon.
All right. Sounds good. And, by the way, if you missed it yesterday, I think it was in the 8 o'clock hour, Pam Purinton with the Yellowstone County Republicans called in, and for their upcoming, it's coming up in mid-March, or mid-April, I'm sorry, for the Yellowstone County Lincoln Reagan Day dinner, David Noble is actually going to be moderating one of the discussions. I think it's a fireside chat with Navy SEAL veteran and Republican Senate candidate Tim Sheehy, and I believe all of the House candidates will be speaking at that event as well.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Former President Trump plans to attend today's wake for a New York City police officer killed in the line of duty, Jonathan Diller. President Biden will be in New York for what his campaign calls the biggest political fundraiser ever, $25 million.
Stephen Colbert will moderate an armchair conversation with President Biden and former Presidents Obama and Clinton at Radio City Music Hall. Donors who fork over enough cash can have their portrait taken with the three presidents by world-renowned photographer Annie Leibovitz.
Fox's Tony J. Powers. Cryptocurrency exchange founder Sam Bankman-Fried is being sentenced today.
He faces up to 110 years in prison after being convicted on 7 counts of fraud and conspiracy. Was found guilty of stealing over $10 billion in FTX customer funds. The prosecution, they're looking for 40 to 50 years. The defense, however, seeking just 5 to 6.5.
Fox's Kelly O'Grady at the federal courthouse in New York. America's listening to Fox News.
All right, David Noble teed up a whole host of conversations for us here this morning. What do you want to talk about? Give us a ring, 406-294-0970. Or you can send us a quick message on the Montana Talks app. In fact, speaking of messages on the Montana Talks app, one of our listeners, and I know who this listener is, but for this particular message, they wish to remain anonymous. And I'm more than happy to honor that request. It's an important message. And plus, anonymous speech is protected speech. Especially in the era of weaponization of government, it's even more important that anonymous speech remains protected speech. But anyway, this listener, let's just say in eastern Montana, says, I have several coworkers that don't even know who John Tester is. Well, that's a good thing. Okay. But anyway, she says, I know that because I have said something about him and I got a blank stare. But after listening to Stephen Miller, you can bet I will let them know who Tester is and what he stands for, and that is not Montana. I will tell them the three things that he voted for and ask them if they think that is right. I'm almost positive they will say no. I hesitate to bring politics to the workplace because I'm the only one that pays attention. I never used to either until about the last 8 years. People need to pay attention and not bury their heads in the sand. Yeah, Stephen Miller was talking about, you know, John Tester voting in support of the illegal alien invasion, voting against the Lake and Riley Act, and also John Tester voting to allow men into girls' locker rooms. And he said, look, you have got to call five of your friends, tell five of your friends how horrific John Tester's voting record is, and then tell them to call five of their friends. And so it sounds like that inspired one of our listeners in eastern Montana there. So that's great. David Noble was talking about, let me play this. I've got about a minute to go before the break, and then I'll get to your phone calls. This is Chloe Cole. Chloe Cole is a detransitioner. Anyway, let me play the audio for you. I can explain more after the break if I need to.
So I've seen this one YouTube thumbnail that says, Charlie Kirk believes that TikTok is turning children trans. Do you agree with the statement?
It is helping turn kids trans, yeah. TikTok is playing a role in making them think that they might have gender identification issues. This is Chloe Cole. She's a detransitioner.
In my experience, I learned about transgenderism through the internet at roughly about the age of 11 or 12. And I mean, it captivated me. I had body image issues. And it felt like I found the explanation for as to why I felt so different from the women around me.
Social media in general led you to believe the wrong idea. And it also, and then in turn, what made you go down a path that maybe wasn't right for you?
I mean, it's beyond not right for me. This has left permanent effects on my body. I might not be able to have children. I don't have my breasts anymore. I have complications from the puberty blockers, the testosterone, and the surgery.
That's
3 years after I've stopped taking all of them.
I'm very suspicious about...
Anyway, so this dude, this liberal pro-transgender dude, is lecturing a detransitioner about the surgeries, the hormones, and more. We'll talk about it more right after this.
Are you an employee or an independent contractor known as a gig worker? Here's what you need to know when filing. I'm Jackie DeAngelis with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
The Will Kane Show is now dropping 5 episodes a week. Join Fox and Friends weekend host Will Kane as he tackles the latest headlines from his unique perspective, along with thought-provoking interviews with leading figures and live calls from viewers and listeners. Listen wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Employees receive a W-2 at tax time. Gig workers or independent contractors receive a 1099, and they're responsible for their own taxes. CPA Stephen Zellin of Zellin & Associates says the IRS looks at how you're working. Do you have a schedule, a workplace?
If the worker is being managed and they have a manager, they're behaving kind of like an employee and not like they're independent.
If you're an independent contractor, you're not eligible for minimum wage, workers' comp, or unemployment benefits, though your 1099 status will allow business deductions. Jackie DeAngelis, Fox News.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
One of the most amazing and consequential changes in the U.S. economy since COVID has been the changing geographic pattern of growth. The population of California is actually falling, and within the larger metropolitan areas across the country, the dense central business districts are hollowing out, and changes appear to be settling in to stay. On a state-by-state basis, the new clusters of growth are apparent. It's all happening, with only a few exceptions, in the Mountain West and in the South. Montana has recovered 149% of the jobs we lost in the pandemic, which is to say that we've grown way past where we were before the recession hit us. Utah is at 200%. There are a dozen states that have yet to recover what they lost, mostly in the upper Midwest and the Northeast. The worst is Hawaii, still 20% short of their pre-COVID job totals. How and why are these growth shifts happening? Certainly remote work makes some of it possible. Taxes? Crime? It's hard to say. It's also hard to ignore. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, real quickly here before I get to Robert in Belgrade on the phone lines. And we've got phone lines open for you if you call right now, 294-0970. So Chloe Cole, if I'm not mistaken, I think Chloe Cole actually testified in Helena during Montana's legislative session. Chloe Cole is a woman. But while she was struggling in her teenage years, like so many, you know, teenage girls will do, right, with body, confidence issues and so much more, she decided to identify as a boy. And she went through the procedures. And now she's suffering from the impacts of that decision that tragically somebody allowed her to make when she was still a kid. And so she would testify in state capitals like Montana's capital about, hey, look, you know, these Democrats in Montana, they want kids to be able to chop off body parts and take these drugs so they can, you know, become transgender. And it's going to cause lifelong harm. You are causing lifelong harm for these kids when they're not old enough to truly know the impacts of their decisions. That's what is so horrific about John Tester's support for this radical transgender agenda. That's why this, frankly, this Zoe Zephyr out of House District 100 in Missoula was pushing straight up evil, straight up evil. Look, Zoe, you want to identify however you want to identify. You do you. And you know what? Hey, you know what? You do you, right? This is America. You're an adult. You can make that decision. But when you try to push this stuff on kids and try to allow for body parts to be removed off of kids, which is what Zoe Zephyr and the rest of that crowd was pushing, that is just pure evil. And so this was via Twitter. This was Charlie Kirk, Turning Point USA, was at some event. I shared it via X.com as well. Go to X.com/Aaron Flint and you can see it. But he had there. So this radical transgender activist comes up and it's some dude lecturing them about the transgender agenda. And listen, as this dude is lecturing her, Chloe Cole, who actually went, she identified as transgender. She went through all the treatments and she's talking about, look, man, I'm telling you how much harm this caused me. I'm standing in front of you. And listen, as this liberal dude tries to mansplain things to her.
Around me.
Social media in general led you to believe the wrong idea, and it also, and then in turn, what made you go down a path that maybe wasn't right for you.
I mean, it's beyond not right for me. This is like permanent effects on my body. I might not be able to have children. I don't have my breasts anymore. I have complications from the puberty blockers, the testosterone, and the surgery.
That's
3 years after I've stopped taking all of them.
I'm very suspicious about, okay, but I understand.
Are you calling her a liar?
No, but I am saying that I'm pretty sure a mastectomy, that's not in the trans guidelines of how people should transition.
Oh, it is.
No, it's 100%. Look at
it's in the WPATH guidelines. They've been lowering the age guidelines for years.
I'd like to say that you're wrong about these, about trans people being indoctrinated.
So, about my case being a fringe case, I mean, I've met hundreds of other detransitioners, some even younger than I was, and have come out of it with trauma that they're left with for life. Sterile, without parts of their bodies.
And this goes back to our chat with David Noble. That's why I wanted to play that clip for you. David Noble was talking about how liberal Senator John Tester and Senate Democrats are funding propaganda to do this to your kids. So tell us again if you think John Tester's a nice guy. You know he isn't. So you don't need to virtue signal. You don't need to pretend. You don't need to lie when you know he isn't a nice guy. Let's go to Robert in Belgrade. Robert, thanks for the call.
Yeah, first of all, I'm just going to say Tester because he doesn't deserve the respect of Mr. or Senator. Anyway, on to my point. How did he get to be head of the Veterans Affairs when there's 18 million veterans in the United States, which is about 12 times more than there are active military people? We all know that he's just a puppet. You know, we sure had to have some pretty heavy strings to pull him up. And one other thing, he's taking credit for new veterans facilities around the state. How many of those are brand new that were not there to begin with? He's taking credit for Bozeman. They just moved it to the highest rent district in town, and it's not even wheelchair accessible. It's on the second floor. But I'd like to know how many new facilities were not there before.
Well, and even then, like, I remember when he took credit for building a new facility in Helena, but then they didn't have doctors to fill the facility. So you had an empty building. Tester would oppose choice for veterans to go to a hospital in their own town. He would force them to drive all the way across the state. And then because he wanted to build more government buildings that he could try to take credit for to create more government employees that would lockstep, by and large, vote for Democrats, right, and not do what was best for veterans. But you raised a great question. And then when it comes to, you know, the Mission Act, Darren Selnick was working in the Trump White House. He told us right here in our own studios how they had to drag John Tester kicking and screaming. Thankfully, it was an election year. So they forced him to finally support the Mission Act. But like, why do we have to drag you along kicking and screaming during an election year to serve veterans? Why don't you just do it because that's the right thing to do? And you raised a great question. How did he become the chairman of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee? It's because they put him there to try to help him win an election. There's other veterans in the United States Senate. There's Democrats and Republicans. I think it was Jack Reed out of Rhode Island. I think he's got a cabin up in Northwest Montana. He was an Army Ranger. They could have put him there, right? But no, they put a non-veteran in that position because they wanted to prop him up politically.
Makes no sense whatsoever.
I hear you. Well, Robert, thanks for your service. Thanks for your time. Thanks for calling in. Greatly appreciated. Next up, let's see. Let's go to Gary in Billings. Gary, what's on your mind this morning?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Thanks for taking my call. As I was going through the channels last night, it's so obvious how they're propping up Biden. The news media said they're beginning to warm up to Biden's policies. Does that mean they're warm up to all the people he's killed? It's just so obvious how they'll get behind this guy, if you can call him a guy. I don't think he is. I don't think he's got anything down there below. But
what? Are you're joking though, right? Are you just saying because of his policies have neutered America? It's neutered our American military. It's neutered our foreign policy. So that's what I'm assuming. That's the reference. That's the joke.
I'm just kind of thinking that, you know, does he really have any? I mean, he doesn't. He's got to be in the line. Everything happens. It's about him. You know, somebody talks about lying. That man has lied more than 100 people put together.
Well, it's crazy. I mean, his latest one, you know, he's talking about the Maryland bridge collapse, and there he goes, injecting himself into the story once again. Yeah, I've ridden the train over that bridge, commuting from Delaware. There's no train tracks on the bridge. I mean, this guy is off the rails.
Well, it just goes to show you that he is nothing more but a scarecrow, because who would they put up as a front man if he wasn't there? They just use him. But it's George Soros and Zuckerberg, all these rich people that want to keep Donald Trump being in there to help us. I mean, I feel badly for Don, because he loves America. He loves people.
That's right. He's fighting for America, and he's sacrificing for America. They're trying to take everything they can from that man. Because he's running for president, because he's trying to make America great again, and they're trying to take everything, every dollar they can from him in the meantime. Boy, Gary, what you just said there about Joe Biden just being a scarecrow, a puppet for the left-wing mega donors, here's the Peter Ducey report. I meant to play this one earlier, kind of referenced it in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. You know, Donald Trump is going to New York City to attend the memorial service for a fallen police officer in the NYPD. I don't think Joe Biden so far is planning to attend that police officer's funeral, but Donald Trump is. But Joe Biden will be in New York City.
President Biden has been making good money this cycle so far, but he hasn't been making Obama money or Clinton money, and that is going to change later on tonight. At Radio City Music Hall, the campaign is already billing this as the most successful fundraiser in American political history. $25 million is going to be coming in, and it's going to be a good test of the soundproofing inside Radio City, because a huge anti-Israel Free Gaza protest called Flood Manhattan for Gaza is being organized right outside, and this is an issue that weighs heavily on President Biden, who's 38% in the Fox News poll, trails Trump by 5 points.
All right, so $25 million he's looking to rake in. There's going to be all sorts of celebrities there, like Lizzo and Queen Latifah and more. So he's got to rake. He doesn't have time, though, for the police officer's funeral service, just like he was checking his watch when the 13 heroes were brought home from the disastrous withdrawal in Afghanistan.
Fox News commentary.
It's been a year since the deadly and tragic Covenant Christian School massacre here in Nashville, and we still don't have all the answers. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week with the smartest thinkers out there about the issues Americans face and where we're going as a nation. This show will feature deep dive interviews with newsmakers and some of your favorite Fox News analysts. I hope you'll join me as we dive into the fray. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to FoxNewsPodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.
1 year ago, right here in Nashville, Tennessee, 28-year-old transgender Aubrey Hale infiltrated the Covenant School on a quest to slaughter innocent Christians. Six people lost their lives that day, including three kids under the age of 10. Beyond the intense grief our Nashville community felt in the aftermath of this tragedy, many of us to this day are still mystified and enraged that we still have not been given all the answers. We knew shortly after the massacre occurred that several journals belonging to the shooter were uncovered, but authorities and even lawsuits went to great lengths to keep them from the public. Besides a few leaked pages from the trans shooter's manifesto, we still have not seen the extent of the writings, and the motive has still not been made public. The leaked pages indicate the shooter set out to murder white people with privilege, but authorities have yet to confirm it. Nashville deserves to know what happened that day and why. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless at Outkick.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
When you need to cash out part of your retirement savings, I'm Ginny Cosola with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, the Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.
The required minimum distribution, RMD, is the amount of money you must withdraw from your IRA or other retirement account if you reach the maximum age. CPA John Lieberman, managing director of Pearlson Wiener, says if you didn't, you'll be penalized.
If you're age 73 or older, you should have taken out your RMD distribution prior to the year end, because there is a 25% penalty on any of these undistributed funds.
If this is the first year you owe, you can pay it on tax day.
It is available upon request.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas, the hot tub company that your friends recommend, Studio. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana. Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
And I tell you guys what, we work for the weekends here in Montana, don't we? We love our toys. We love our boats, our campers, our dirt bikes, our snowmobiles. We like to get out there and have some fun. Octane Addictions. If you've been to their shows before, man, you know what I'm talking about. We got Tyler Johnson in the house. That's already this weekend, the big air bash, right?
I'll tell you, it's been crazy. We were in Jackson Hole last weekend for a big snowmobile show, and yeah, the way the tables turned, we're the first weekend in April, or well, March, I guess. So yeah, usually we have a week in between, but yeah, here we are, bringing eight of the top guys in the world. We actually have something special this time. We have the number one guy in the world. He's from Japan. He actually ironically rode here at Montana Fair last year, just coming through, had an opening, and then he goes, I want to come back to Montana.
He loved it so much.
Yeah, he actually left a day and a half ago. He goes, I'll drive slow, bringing dogs so I can go. He's the best guy in the world. He's what I've, you know, you dream of having a guy that rides for you. 25, 30 backflip tricks. The guy is just, I mean, it's a whole nother level.
So these guys are on dirt bikes doing incredible stunts, high flying. It's at the First Interstate Arena at the Metra, March 30th, 7:30 p.m. How high do they actually jump when they're flipping through the air?
45 to 50 feet high, 70 to 75 foot long. We landed the airbags now, so that helps out a little bit of them bringing the bigger tricks. But yeah, about 50 feet. We have to take the scoreboard in the middle of the metro. We have to take it out because we would hit our head on that bad boy.
That's how you know how great of a show this is. Well, and you've got two tables left, because I know we've got some business owners listening that want to hook up their great employees, and so I think he's only got two tables left. You better act now fast. And then, but even just individual ticket owners, you're going to want to act fast as well.
Yeah, we have quite a few tickets available still. We always, you know, sometimes people cut the metro in half. We don't. We leave it open. The neatest part is again, this is our 16th year doing it. We always do it for a benefit. That's why we come back. This one's for the Chase the Dream Foundation. Last year we raised, I don't remember the exact number, but a whole bunch of money for Travis Salter, who had cancer. Now he's 100% cancer-free. Went and got that treatment.
Wow, that's awesome.
Somewhere, I'm not sure. This year we're doing it for a benefit for a lady out of Whitehall, Montana, Lori Strozzi. Her nephew rides for us as well, just kind of picked that out of the blue. And, you know, she's down in Arizona right now getting treatments and just came on and came on hard. So we'll try and help that family out a little bit. That's the neat part about the Big Air Bash every year. Metro works with me. Cody and those guys over there have been absolutely amazing. I mean, it's fun to know that you can bring this crew back to town and then work with me. We just gave a bunch of tickets to the schools away. And
that's,
you know,
awesome. Kids
it's
love
neat,
it.
Especially. It's neat to bring that in your community, you know. So having all that, having, you know, for benefit, and then to be able to ring these guys, all you Montana people, Keith Sayers. Keith is becoming probably one of the biggest legends in the world. He is the one that does all of Supercross, NASCAR, anything that has Monster Energy drink on it, from Butte, Montana. They call him Evel Knievel's godson. it's been a blessing to work with Keith. He's just he's a rock star. He's so much fun. He'll be here. And he's the one who kind of helps coordinate all these knuckleheads to get here and help me out. And yeah.
So Octane Addictions, Billings, Big Air Bash. Octane Addictions goes all over the country, all over Montana. They're in Billings this weekend. With a minute or so to go, Tyler, how do you describe it for people who've never been to one of your shows?
Take a 250-pound, 300-pound motorcycle, put it about 50 feet in the air, jumping 70 feet. Turn the thing upside down in the air and watch them hang off of it. If you really want to know it, if you don't know what the Big Air Bash is or Octane Addictions, check us out on Instagram, social media, Facebook, YouTube. Got a YouTube channel as well. That'll show you what's coming to the Metro. And most of you people who have the kids who watch X Games on TV, these are the guys. These are the guys that are at X Games. These are the guys that have the 2, 3, 4 million Instagram followers. So come check them out. They'll be there when we're done signing autographs and hanging out with everybody. We're going to do a little after party at Peppers when we're done to let the guys loose a little bit in Billings, Montana, see if we can't keep them out of trouble a little bit, you know?
There you go. Yeah, well, we are the home of Evel Knievel here in Montana Butte, especially. So people just, they love this stuff. It's a great time. Do you have some tickets in front of you right now?
Should I brought a couple for you.
Can we do a ticket giveaway?
Please do, yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
All right, we got two tickets to the Big Air Bash right in front of me. Message us on the Montana Talks app if you want to get your hands on these Big Air Bash tickets, and we'll draw a winner here shortly and announce it in the next hour. Why not? Just do it right now.
I love it.
Action pack. Tyler, great to see you. Octane Addictions, I told you, he's got two tables left. So if you're a business owner, you want to hook up the boys and the gals.
10 seats on the floor, hang out with the riders. Two more. We'll have 50 tables on the floor sold out.
We had some great callers on Wednesday's Montana Talks. Plus, we caught up with a Montana native who has served a career in the maritime industry with some fascinating insight on that Maryland bridge collapse. So if you missed Wednesday's Montana Talks, boy, you missed out. But don't worry, we got another great show coming up for you on Thursday. We'll take your calls. Plus, you never know what we're really going to talk about. I mean, we try to be on top of the latest breaking news. We want to talk about what Montanans want to talk about. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10.